You know what I hate the most about all this, though, is like everybody's telling me to wash my hands. And yeah. I'm just like, do you understand that I've been washing my hands, you know, like
before it was
compulsively?
Cool.
Yeah, dude. I've been like, for an OCD person, it's just like, oh, really? Now everybody's washing their hands? Now everybody's opening doors with their elbows? What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
I'm sitting here hoping I'm not sick. Do you feel like anything, Bobby? And you're like, oh, God, I hope that's not it. Like a scratchy throat or...
I mean, I caught a cold right before all this craziness started, and I got over that. So I'm feeling fantastic right now.
Good.
Yeah.
You look pretty sleepy, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worked out a lot today.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm having to get creative now with bands because all the gyms are closed. So I'm using a lot of bands and doing a lot of running in the park.
Do you take some kettlebells, dude? I'll give you one right now. Don't let me forget.
Kettlebells? Yeah, I'll take a heavy one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking up all sorts of YouTube videos, just figuring out what I can do on a yoga mat with limited resources.
You're gonna jump straight into a 35er?
Oh yeah, I could do a 35.
All right.
Yeah, but other than that, how's the coronavirus hasn't really affected you that much, has it? You're still at work. You're still doing everything you normally do.
When there was the big declaration, I took Friday out, that Friday that it was, you know, the whole all but essential things, because I was like, there's no way construction is going to be essential, but apparently we are. So I got to go back to work on Monday because we are building housing. I guess technically we are still, but the Bay Area, so, which last week we were 1 week behind. Mm-hmm. They did the shutdown, then we did the shutdown, blah, blah, blah. They just declared martial law. So
martial law?
Or a curfew.
Okay.
Yeah. So they have to stay in.
Yeah, they have that shelter in place.
I think it's martial law, dude, because it's enforced.
Isn't martial law when, like, the military becomes the police or something?
Well, it sounds good, Bobby. God damn it.
Yeah, I mean, we have, we're being urged to, like, stay, like, shelter in place, but it's not, like, super enforced. But there are a lot less people out in the streets. There's a lot more people online. This is really good for for some things. Really bad for a lot of things, like movie theaters about to go bankrupt. That's not good. But this is great for people who are releasing their video games and people who are, you know, offering electronic services. I feel like Zoom. I've heard so many people talking about Zoom lately.
What is it?
Zoom's, it's something that they do a lot of remote teaching through.
Oh, okay.
So they give like, it's like a little bit better than Skype when it comes to that.
Oh, I got you.
So like if you want to do any sort of online teaching, a lot of people use Zoom.
Gun stores were fucking killing it until the shutdown.
Gun stores?
It was crazy. It was insane.
Oh, that's not encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so funny, dude. Like, I'm standing in line with, like, did I tell you about a gun? Or I tried to.
You tried to buy a gun?
Yeah. Well, I bought it. It's got to be mailed to the gun store, but the gun store is closed now, so I can't.
Where did you buy it?
Online.
Okay.
Because there's no inventory, dude. Mm-hmm. There's just empty racks everywhere you go. There's no guns. Yeah,
but don't you have to do, like, a background check?
A 10-day background check. And that doesn't start until the gun gets to the gun store.
Mm-hmm.
The online one I bought, which I thought I had plenty of time for, but nope. None of that. So you're standing in line with like 20 other dudes and they're all, you know, I guess everybody's panic buying, right? So everybody's friendly and kind of like being jovial. Mm-hmm. But fast forward 8 weeks from now, we're all trying to shoot each other with the guns we're trying to get. That's a joke. I don't think we're going to be shooting each other.
No, I don't think we're going to get to that point. But yeah, this week's gone by really slow, and I've been playing a lot of games. And
it's good for podcasting.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. I'm only going to talk about two of them because, I mean, I finished Mutant Year Zero, and I kind of dabbled in a lot of other games, Final Fantasy III, played a little Overwatch, got back into some Jedi Outcast. You know, picked up little games here and there, just trying to find something that would stick. But I don't know. I think I'm only going to talk about two games. But before we do that, let's have our call-in. We got a special guest today that's going to be joining us. Hello, Sniper. Are you there?
Hello. How's it going?
Oh, it's Captain Save a Podcast. It's not Sniper after all.
I think it's Mickey Mouse.
I'm a listener. How's it going?
Dude, that's eerie, dude. You sound like a girl. It's pretty
good. I am a girl.
Oh, okay. What's your name, girl?
Girl.
I don't fucking know.
That's pretty good, right, man. I guess it helps that you haven't gone through puberty yet.
Yeah. Balls have yet to drop. Just give me these questions. Let's go. What is it?
All right. So we're going to play three audio clips. Now, you know the answer to the mystery bag, so we aren't going to give you that one. But yeah, we're going to play some other audio clips here for you and see if you can guess those.
Could you imagine, dude, that we give the $30 to Sniper and then we get called on for insider trading? Mm-hmm. Like, fucking Sniper's, there's a big scandal. Sniper's got to go to jail.
Yeah.
I do want
to. Yeah, that.
I do have some questions for you, though, Sniper, because I don't know if I know these answers.
Where
did you find the podcast?
Where did I find the podcast? Yeah. I was just browsing gaming podcasts, kind of trying to find one that didn't suck.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That's where we like to set the bar, not suck.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's atrocious. A couple of the other podcasts are really bad. I'm not saying this one is like divine or anything, but it's at least better than some.
Thank you. Better than some. That's also what we go for. Now, did you like it right away or did we have to grow on you?
No, dude, I liked it right away. I feel like I walked into like a dick joke and I was like, yes, and this is what I'm looking for.
Who was on the cast at the time? Probably Minnie?
No, I think it was just Chi, you, and Bobby. Hmm. Yeah, no Minnie, but I was like, when Minnie came on, I felt like I found kinship in someone, you know, like just looking at his face. I think he looks super handsome. I want to fuck his face.
Wow, dude.
Whoa.
Hey, leave the jokes to this guy. All right.
Yeah. Jeez, yeah.
You're going to drive this thing.
Well, that's
right
not a joke,
ground,
dude. Check. Like,
he was streaming a few days ago. Or maybe.
Oh, I caught it. I
you
caught
did?
It.
Okay, because he's grown his hair out quite long. Longer
yeah,
than mine,
not right not now. A good look. Not a good look, Bobby. Someone should tell him. Yeah, someone needs to make fun of him. The long hair thing, not doing it for me. No longer jerking off to Minnie over here.
Is it too late to get Days into for the call in? Days?
I don't know. Is she here? She
Are you
can
down?
Replace me.
Let's all stand around and wait for her response. And while we do that, I'm going to play you a song here, and you're going to tell me what game is this from. All right?
Okay. All right.
I'm going to give you a hard one here, one that I think's hard, but maybe easy for you.
No, not easy for me. I don't know.
I have zero.
Yeah, so that's a tough one.
But is that going to be like Sea of Thieves or something?
It oh my God, dude. You got it.
I did?
Yes.
Yeah, fuck everyone listening. I got it. All right, what's the next one?
He has access to this on the Google Drive, so he might be
Are
cheating.
You looking at it, you jerk?
He might be
Dude,
cheating.
I'm literally watching you click. No, I'm not fucking watching you click. That was all me.
Nice work, dude.
Thanks. Yeah, I played that game for 8 hours while it was popular.
Okay.
I saw a kid with Down syndrome make a fucking half-court shot today on a video. That reminded me of exactly the same thing. I was just as happy for you right now.
thank you. All right.
Okay, so this next one's a sound effect. I think this one's going to be a little easier. We'll see if you can get it.
Oh, yeah, that's a priest from Age of Empires 2.
Yeah, I knew that.
But it's a monk, no?
A priest, a monk, I'll give it to him. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Can we get some
Yeah, give me
coinage?
The ding, Bobby.
Oh, shit, is it working?
Yeah, and one more. Thank you.
There we go. That's two rings. Okay, and for the third one, did you want another sound effect or a song?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Surprise me. Actually, no, I'll make it easy. Give me a song. Give me a hard song. Give me the hardest song you have.
Ooh.
Let's see, a hard song for you.
Yep. Hard like Minnie's washboard abs, dude. Okay. Come at me. Let's
Damn.
Go.
It only costs you $20. You don't have to fucking swoon over the guy.
No, dude. The flirting is the fun part. Once you get $20, I don't know. The business thing turns me off.
All right. I don't think there's any way you get this one, but we'll see.
Wow, dude. Thanks.
Wait, have we played this one, Amelia? The one that I'm hovering? No, we haven't.
I've played it.
We have.
Oh, on here. No.
On the show. Okay.
No, no.
All right. Yeah, there's no way you're going to get this one, but I don't know. Maybe you'll pull it out of your ass. We'll see. Yeah.
I don't know what this trumpeting is.
This is a tough one. I'd be surprised if anybody in chat knew what this one was.
It sounds like I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't know. I don't know at all, dude.
I played the shit out of this game, and I probably wouldn't have got it.
Oh, okay. It's what's that? A gay hentai dad simulator 2. I know, like, I've seen Amelia play the show that, yeah. Is it good? It's good.
Time played, 1,000.
Well, Warconi has got it in chat. That is Spelunky.
Yep.
Spelunky? I've never even heard of that game.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Dude, buy it right now.
Yeah, 2013. how would you describe Spelunky?
It's a roguelike. Yeah, it's one of the first roguelikes. It's an action platformer roguelike. PC Gamer gave it Game of the year it came out. It is fucking great.
It was really hot for a minute there. I mean, 2013 was the year of the roguelikes, but this one was really popular. It got really hard when you played multiplayer. Having two players in this was really tough.
Dude, the chaos that ensued. Oh, dude, you and Rianne playing this together. Trust me, dude. Get this game.
Okay. I'll check it out. 2013. That was a long time ago. I don't know. What was I playing in 2013? I don't know. I was just graduating high school, probably.
Yeah, what was even out in 2013? I just remember it was all indie roguelikes in 2013. Like, what were even the big titles back then? Oh, BioShock Infinite came out that year.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
A game I have not played as well, unfortunately. Me and Warconius in the same boat.
I'm so close to firing you right now.
Wow, that's incredible.
And taking all my dollars back.
I got the first two questions right, so that basically makes me unfireable, I think.
That is pretty good. It's better than most people do.
All right. This bit has gone on for too long. I'm going to hang up on myself. You guys have fun now.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Later.
See you later. All right. So, yeah, Spelunky, good game there. So, before we get on the radar, we got a few subscriptions here. Thank you very much to Controlled Pairs and also SMI Jeff coming in with the Twitch subscriptions.
It's Smajeff.
Smajeff. All right. Oh, Warconius installed BioShock Infinite, but has yet to play it. Get on that, man.
Yeah, but he is playing. He's like on Witcher 3, so he's going to be there for a while.
So it'll be a minute. Okay. All right. So if you want to call into the show, just before we record, about 15 minutes before we record, be in our Discord channel and Sniper will randomly select somebody. We record, looks like it's going to be Sundays at 5 now, Pacific time.
Do we want to talk about DLG Con and where we're at with that?
As of now, that's still going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. We had a few more people buy in. So I think we have
like 12.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So we're down to 12 seats left. So your money is refundable. So if we have to shut this down because of coronavirus, we will, and everybody will get their money back. If I have to pay a penalty, we'll figure that out, when we come to it. But yeah, check it out. Check out the link. It's under announcements.
No, it'll be on the show notes. So if you're listening to this podcast on your phone, just scroll down. And to answer a question in chat, we only take one call-in per episode.
Yep.
All right. On the radar, we only have one game here, and it's not even a game.
It's a mod, right?
Yep. This is a Half-Life 2 mod called Jurassic Life. And this has been around for a while, apparently, but now it's complete, start to finish. And this is basically Jurassic Park, but remade on the Source engine.
What is it, single player shooter? What is it?
Yeah, it appears to be a single player first person shooter. It's free. This is probably something I'll check out this week.
Although, are there reviews on it?
I don't know. There might be. How do you even review a mod? I guess you could, but
I mean, there's a lot of mods that I get reviewed.
Yeah, but it's not like you can look up a mod on Metacritic or something, right?
I don't know. Well, if it was a Skyrim mod, those are all rated and there's a whole thing, but
I mean, just looking at the footage, it looks just like the environment in the movie, which I want to walk around in. I mean, that looks awesome right there. But yeah, I'll totally play this. Although I got to say, I'm a little sick of mods right now because I'm trying to set up Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, the first one. I played the second one. Didn't have a great modding experience with that either, but that at least had Steam Workshop. This one, the first one, does not. And trying to install the mods and going through Nexus mods and doing all that stuff is such a pain.
You think it is?
I know it is. First of all, if you have a Gmail account, you can't even activate, or you can't even create an account on Nexus mods because there's something about Gmail that blocks the validation email that gets sent.
Maybe that's my old one then. I have it on my Yahoo account then.
Yeah. I had to go get another email account from another provider to even be able to create a Nexus mods account. Finally was able to do that. And it's just, I mean, Steam Workshop puts every other mod, I don't know, facilitator to shame, really.
Nexus now has an app, right? So you download the app and then you just click on whatever you want. It goes right into the app. It does everything for you.
Okay. Well, maybe I should. I'm following a very specific guide on the Reddit, the KOTOR Reddit. No, it was updated less than a year ago.
Oh, you know what it is? I bet the launcher probably, it's such a small game that the launcher isn't hooked up to that game, I bet.
It's possible. But this mod, you have to install, there's several mods, but you have to install them in a certain order and follow specific instructions. So there's this very long thread in the KOTOR Reddit that I'm following to properly mod this. So a little burnt out on mods right now, but still this is probably a Steam Workshop item, this Jurassic Life. I'm sure it would be pretty easy to install. And I definitely check this out. I mean, it's got dinosaurs, it's Jurassic Park. I'm really into games that are based off of movies right now. Like, I'm looking for another Star Wars game to play. I was looking at some Star Trek games. Like, I really want to get into a movie franchise game.
I started watching Conan, the newest one. I got a good 30 minutes in, you know. Conan the Barbarian, the newest one with the guy that's Aquaman.
Oh,
yeah.
What is the newest one?
Conan the Barbarian.
The one from 2011?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's almost, it's like a sci-fi channel quality stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can't watch action films anymore. Not really. Yeah. It's got to be a special one.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for On the Radar. That was short. But let's talk about some games that we have played this week. Do we want to get... Maybe we should talk about the little stuff first and then get to Doom Eternal.
Sure.
Let's get the little stuff out of the way here. So I finished Mutant Year Zero. That game's great. You should definitely check it out. Highly endorse it.
Better or worse than XCOM 1? Or is it...
It's different. Yeah. You know, it's more of an RPG. It's got more story to it. But if you just want purely like turn-based, if you just want purely like turn-based combat, then maybe check out XCOM. I kind of liked it. I don't know.
They're different.
But anyway, I didn't even plan on talking about that. I just wanted to talk about how I had played so many different games this week. But the one that I really do want to talk about is League of Legends. So I've played this before. I've talked about it before. But this time around, I really got into Teamfight Tactics, which is this new version that they added when Dota Auto Chess was becoming really popular. And of course, Dota Auto Chess turned into Underlords. So Teamfight Tactics is basically League of Legends' version of that. And I knew, you know, so many people were trying to get me hooked on this stuff for the longest time. And I knew once I did play it, I was going to be hooked on it. And of course, once I started playing it, I played 4 to 5 straight hours of this game.
We're so late to the party on this, man. These are like 6 months old, but...
Yeah, but you know what? This is a dangerous game to play.
Because it's so addicting.
Yeah.
Well, I stayed away because it was super early when... What was the first one? You just said it. Dota...
Auto Chess.
Auto Chess. So I played it when it was Auto Chess. And Chad was showing it to me. And at the time, it's a lot about making pairs, right? Within whatever, their race or their class, right?
Yeah, you're trying to match certain things.
Match certain things. And at the time, Chad was doing it off of basically knowing the characters. Mm-hmm. And there's no other way to tell.
Yeah.
And now I guess they're labeled.
Oh, well, I don't know about auto chess. I never played that.
Oh, okay.
But with this, yeah, it does help you. They do label a lot of things, except for one part. There's these certain rounds where you can pick a character. And of course, the person in last gets to pick first. So it kind of helps you out. But it really does help you if you know the game, you know the characters. Mm-hmm. But also there's some things that probably don't have any relation to the game proper, you know, like the original League of Legends. For instance, like they each have kind of a different class, Blade Master, Blaster, Cybernetic, and you're trying to group these certain types together to build synergy. And I don't think that has anything to do with mm-hmm. League of Legends. But, I mean, it's a great game, and what it really does is it takes away the mechanical side of League of Legends and leaves in just the strategy. So for someone like me who really struggles with the mechanical side, you know, with Heroes of the Storm, I got good at it. It took a long time and a lot of work, but I did get good at it. But still, I ran into players in that game who were very good with strategy, and they knew what to do. They just couldn't execute because they had poor mechanical skills. You know, they couldn't move their characters and make them do the moves and with the accuracy that they needed to. But it takes away all that. You don't have to worry about doing any of that stuff, and it just leaves the strategy side of it.
Hence the auto part.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of refreshing in a way. Like, it really does make this game enjoyable. I played it for a long time, but I eventually hit that point where I was like, I care too much about winning now. Like, I know how the game works. Like, I kind of have a basic understanding. There's a lot of little things that I need to figure out, like equipping items on certain people and when it's good to do that. And but I just had to stop myself because I'm like, I'm not going to like play this 8 hours a day and like try to be the best I can be. Like, I'm either going to like go overboard with this or I'm going to cut it off. You know?
We don't need another Heroes of the Storm on our hands.
Yeah. And that's the point that I reach a lot of times when I go back to play just the League of Legends normal mode, or if I play even some Dota or any sort of game like this, that's highly competitive. Like, I always reach a point where I just tell myself it's not worth it and I have to walk away.
Right. So that, and you can take that as like a rave review, right? Like, this game is so good that I can't play it, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know, but because it has that kind of frustration where you lose and you're just like, nope, one more game. And the games themselves take maybe
10 minutes.
No, 30 minutes, maybe an hour. I don't know. I lost track of time while I was playing it.
Question. Now, when I was playing, you also did the formations. Do you still do the formations in this? Like, where your characters are going to, how they start off?
Yeah, you can put your characters wherever you want on the map, like on your half of the map.
Yeah.
So, you know, you put your range damage in the back. If you have a sniper, you put them in the back. You put your melee takes up front.
I remember when I was watching somebody stream, some people do corner guard where they'll just have like four defensive guys and like some snipers just tucked away in the corner. I was like, oh, there really is strategy to this, strategy.
There is an infiltrator class in this that immediately just pop back into the back line. Yeah, kind of like Loki in Smite.
Yeah,
he just pops back in the back and will just attack those people. So there's ways to do with that. You know, there's some rock, paper, scissors. And I've kind of figured out which classes are the best. Like, I tried doing the Dark Star ones. Those guys are awful. But I've kind of seen which ones work. But I don't know. I don't want to talk details about the game. The fun part of a game like this is figuring all that stuff out for yourself. Going in completely fresh and blind and just not understanding anything. And every game you get a little bit better. Like, that's really where the enjoyment is. One thing I wanted to talk about too with this game was also the way that they do their cosmetics. All these games have a lot of cosmetic stuff, right? The way they do this one is you buy into this Battle Pass or Battle Pass Plus, and then you get the stuff that you're unlocking. So as I'm playing this game, I'm getting XP towards these unlocks, and it's like, oh, you unlock this and unlock that. I'm like, well, why can't I equip it? Turns out you have to buy a Battle Pass. And I feel like I've seen that before, but
yeah.
I've never really talked about it. That's such an interesting way to do that because it really kind of goats people into buying it.
Yeah, because it works it retroactively, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So they keep reminding you every time you unlock something like, oh, well, if you bought the Battle Pass, you'd have all this stuff, including this brand new thing that you just unlocked. It's, I don't know if I like it. It's a little manipulative. But yeah, Teamfight Tactics, great game. Even if you don't play League and if you don't like MOBAs, I mean, this is
something else.
Yeah, it's worth checking out.
Cool.
I'd recommend it. And it's completely free.
Nice. It's good. It's a new genre, which is cool. And it's kind of
like, yeah, and you know what's great about it too is it does the same thing that Battle Royale does. When you lose, you're out of the game and the rest of the people keep playing. You don't have to stick around and wait for the game to end.
Or you can and watch it. Yeah.
You can if you want, but I really like how we're doing that with competitive games now. Like, we aren't punishing people by putting them on a timeout or putting them in jail. And, you know, it's like a game that punishes you by not letting you play the game. It's just, that was never really a good design, but it was all we had for like 30 years of gaming, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Teamfight Tactics, recommend it.
This is kind of out of left field, Bobby, but I thought about this. So we, at some point I had mentioned to you that new games are better and you disagreed because you like older games. And then I was thinking about something else, I don't know, and then it popped into my head. The reason that new games are better is because they've played all those old games and they take those old ideas and they can implement
sometimes,
them.
Sometimes. Yeah. The thing about it, though,
the ether of it, of gaming knowledge is much greater. There's much more to pull on.
But the biggest problem that I have, and I don't want to like make a broad statement that just says old games are better. Obviously, that's not true. But just saying like new games are better by default, I don't think is true either. But the problem that I have is
that's where you're wrong.
No, dude, it's the business model.
The business model, yes, I agree.
Is what I have a problem with, because new games are designed to extract as much money out of the player as they possibly can. Back in the day, in the 90s, when you made a game, your best business model was, let's make a really good game and everyone will buy it off the shelves. Now it's like, let's, you know, use these Skinner box tactics to try to manipulate people to extract as much money as we possibly can from them.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you. That's why I like the double A's. I think the double A's are still like super.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the indie scene is really. The indie scene and like the, I don't know, a lot of stuff that we consider double A is a lot of people consider indie. But yeah, I mean, that's where like the greatest work is being done.
Unless you play something like Doom. Let's just get into it. Doom is the old business model. Let's make a really fucking good game and have it stand on its own two legs, right?
I mean,
is there even microtransactions?
No microtransactions, no DLC as of yet, I think. I don't think there's DLC. I could be wrong.
I doubt it.
But yeah, I mean, it does feel like a very old game, like in that sense. And I think a lot of people would look at it also and say, well, it's a first-person shooter. Those are kind of old school too. But what is crazy about Doom is it changes the first person shooter so much. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just, there's no resource management. What it does is you have to manage
activity management.
You play around cooldowns instead of actual resources. So if you're low on ammo, you use your chainsaw that has a few charges and then recharges gradually. If you need armor, you use your flame belch. If you need health, you do a glory kill, and you kind of play around these cooldowns. And there's so many that you have your grenades, you have your weapons, which have their mods, and all these different things.
Does it have a property, or it's just extra damage, right?
Yeah, but you can use it to stun the Kako demons, but...
Okay.
And there's a cryo grenade that freezes them that you get later in the game.
Okay, you're further than me, dude.
Yeah, I'm pretty far in
it. It's crazy, because you were like, hey, what's your login? And then this is after I've already played like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I guess he'll touch on it. And now you're about to beat the game.
Yeah, it's not very long. There's 6 levels. I'm on level 5.5, and I'm maybe 4 or 5 hours into the game.
I'm playing on second to the last difficulty level, so I am replaying areas probably 5 or 6 times before I get through them. But I'm having a hell of a lot of fun. It is a very intense game. I find myself like gripping my toes and like leaning into the monitor, and you really have to be dialed in. And it almost gets to the point where I'm watching myself do things, because if you're thinking about what you're doing, it's almost too late. So it's almost like it's muscle memory. You have to go on, kind of get into a real groove if you want to start to keep going. It's all a delicate balance of what Bobby was saying. You need something, you go and get that thing. And if you if your cooldown isn't ready, you need to delay until you can do that. And we're talking, it could only be 4 seconds until it's up. It's hard to stay alive for 4 seconds when you're lacking what you need. Like your health is low or whatever. You need 4, 5, 10 seconds. It's fucking chaos, dude, trying to stay alive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very, like that gameplay loop I was describing where it's just built around cooldowns. It really adds to the whole kinetic feel of this game. It's nonstop. You're constantly in motion. You're constantly doing things, and you just kind of have to find the opportune moments to do each thing that you need. Like, I feel like I'm always taking damage, but always getting health back. Like, it's a very, I don't know, it's a very weird type of game where it's just, it pushes you to go so fast, but it's, I don't know. It's such a fast paced game that
The Death Knights, dude, in particular, like, I haven't figured them out yet. They kick my ass every time. Those are the ones that, like, do the leaping attack. Mm-hmm. Like, I've ran into, like, 4 of them now, and they just own me. I mean, I've killed them, but I'm not killing them the correct way. So on top of everything else that you're talking about, each one of the harder guys have their own way to kill them, right? Or, like, a strategy. But
they have weak spots.
Weak spots and, well, strategies, wouldn't you say? That you'd have, like, the Kako Demon. That's the round ball one, right? The meatball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to shoot meatball. The grenade in his mouth or whatever.
Yeah.
And when you're doing a strategy to kill one guy, it might be interrupting your cooldowns for what you need to do for the next guy. So there's that additional level of thinking that you have to, like, save some cooldowns for some things. And kind of kite around the bad guy. And the little tiny guys, those are just fucking meat sandwiches, dude. That's just to heal you up.
Yeah,
they might as well be
up off of.
Yeah, they must be. They might as well be fucking mushrooms in Super Mario.
Yeah,
like they pose no threat. They're just there. So now I'm starting to learn that I gotta leave those guys for later in the fight. Just don't kill them until you need them.
Well, I really like how this game gets right to the point. So the first Doom in 2016 did that as well.
Yeah.
It kind of starts out, the first Doom did it so perfectly. It starts out with kind of a cutscene, and then he just smashes the monitor. He walks out and he starts killing demons. And that was about all you got in that game. There was a little bit of dialogue later in the game, but for the most part, Doom 2016 had none of that. Doom Eternal has a lot more cutscenes. It also has some behind the scenes stuff. So the Doom Slayer lives in this floating space castle that looks very medieval, but also like technological. It's called the Fortress of Doom. You get to see his room, like his possessions.
And that he's human. I always thought, like from 2016, I thought he was like some sort of zombie, but he looks like just like a fucking dude, you know?
Yeah. You know, he looks like a guy from Gears of War or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's human, but they do really make an effort to build some backstory in this. And I think it's not, they don't overdo it, which is good. It's light enough that it doesn't interfere with like the fast paced action of the game. But it gets right to the point. And my best example of that is you start the game with a shotgun instead of every other game in the world starts you with a pistol.
Including 2016.
Yeah. You start with a pistol and then in the first 20 minutes that becomes obsolete, maybe less. And then you never touch the pistol ever again your entire
life. Yeah, yeah.
So this game just starts you right off with a shotgun, which I think is great. And they skip some of the other guns too. Like you go shotgun, then the next weapon you get is the
assault rifle.
Yeah, the assault rifle. And then you jump straight to the plasma rifle. Yeah. I mean, in the original Doom games in the 90s, it took forever to get to the plasma rifle, which was always my favorite gun too. And it is in this game as well.
Like, dude, I wasn't even using it because I was so used to the first two. Mm-hmm. And then I used it and I was like, what have I been doing? This thing's awesome.
Yeah. And the upgrade system's pretty interesting too. I like how they do that. So you can upgrade your weapons. You can upgrade your suit. You can upgrade all sorts of things. But you can also get these perks, but they're built around other perks. So for instance, in Doom 2016, you could upgrade your armor, your health, or your ammo. You can do that in this, but they're attached to these other upgrades. So if you wanted to upgrade like your flame belch, then you'd need to upgrade your ammo once and your health once. And then you would also get that flame belch one. So it kind of keeps you from just upgrading just one stat.
I just did my first one of those. So I haven't got into how it works as a tree or whatever. So yeah,
it's not a tree though. It's just like here's an upgrade.
Prerequisites?
Yeah. Kind of like that. Like what they do is, this is hard to explain, and I don't even know if it's worth explaining on the podcast because it probably sounds boring.
We can pass.
But it's like if you want to upgrade your flame belch to do this, then that requires you to upgrade your armor once and your health once.
Right.
And then you see those attached to it, and then you upgrade each one, and then boom, you get that third thing that you wanted. But I don't know. It was an interesting way of doing it. But the game, it's a great game.
It is a great game.
Everybody's playing it. There were like over 100,000 concurrent users on it. Like, of course, this is the perfect time for a game like this while everyone's stuck inside. Now, let's talk about the multiplayer, because a single player is fantastic, but it's kind of short-lived, as it should be. I don't think a single player like this should go on longer than 7 hours.
Let me say what I didn't like about it first, single player. They put a lot more secret areas in this one that I remember than in 2016. Mm-hmm. There'll be something behind the wall. You can clearly see where it is.
Yeah.
And then you have to just figure out how to get there, right? And you have a map, and it shows you where all the secret things are. Which is great. It is what it is. I could take it or leave it. I'm not saying that part is good or bad. What I don't like is that a lot of the geometry or the places in the game that look like you'd be able to climb on because you've climbed on things that are smaller, mm-hmm. just don't let you climb on them, or it's just like invisible barriers, right?
Yeah.
But if you're going to have me searching around corners and looking for things, I think my barrier shouldn't be invisible. Like, it should be obvious. That way I don't waste time jumping around. Like,
I've got all the secret areas. I didn't find them very difficult until later in the game. There are some more difficult ones, mm-hmm. particularly level 5, the Super Gore Nest. That one has, I'm waiting to get that sword. I see that in my Fortress of Doom, but I haven't been able to unlock it yet. But they have, in the 5th level, it's not very linear. You have to like unlock these 3 things, and you have to go, you revisit areas, you come back. So it's a little more complicated because I don't want to move on from an area until I've gotten that secret. So I usually stick around there and figure it out and then move on from that point.
I really shouldn't be complaining too much because the map is really useful when finding these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can upgrade your suit to make that even easier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. The first thing that I upgraded was the slow down time when you're about to die. I thought, because I'm about to die almost half the time. Mm-hmm. So I found that one really good, really useful.
That was the third one I unlocked. It's super useful.
Okay. So you played online.
I played some multiplayer. Yes.
So now, it's a 2v1.
Yeah. 2v1, asymmetrical. 2 demons versus the Doom Slayer. And you play 3 rounds. Regardless of who, it's not even like best 2 out of 3. Like you go 3 rounds, and you can choose from a variety. Before you sign up for the multiplayer, you choose, do I want to be a demon or the slayer or either one? And then you queue up. It seemed to me, I did the auto, like just give me whatever's available, and I kept getting the Doom Slayer, and it seemed to me like it was a little too easy. I don't know, maybe they have cross-platform, and I'm playing against people on controllers, mm-hmm. but I had no problem killing these guys.
Nice.
Bunch of 3-0s. So I don't know. But what they've tried to do in the multiplayer is really cool, but I just don't think anyone's going to care that much. And it's unfortunate because that's where the real long-term playability of the game comes in.
Because
7-hour game, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, if you really want the game to have a tail, you got to have that awesome multiplayer. But what they've done is you get these demons and they can spawn other little demons, and they also have their own set of abilities, which almost feels like Left 4 Dead in a way.
Yeah, you're not playing as the little peons. You're playing as one of the, you know,
like the Mancubus or the Archvile or someone with some big powers.
Yeah, and he's just summoning guys. And these are some things I don't know. The different characters, do they summon different guys, or are they all pulling from the same pool?
They have different builds, and you can change which guys you summon, I believe, but they have different builds. Like you can choose the Mancubus and you can choose him to play as a tank or a support. And I think what people are getting wrong about this and why they're struggling so much with the demon side of it is because there's a lot of strategy.
Yeah.
For the Doom Slayer, you're doing everything that you normally do.
Yeah, but you have way more practice because it's the same shit you do in the regular.
Yeah, you're doing exactly what you do in the single player. For the demons, though, it's way more strategy than people think. It's not like just run up and kill them. Like, you have to spawn your demons at opportune places. You have to use your abilities right. There's also abilities you can use. So he can just use your little peons that you spawn to just heal up and right. to get ammo from with chainsaw or flame belch and armor. But you can negate that. Like, you have an ability that's on a cooldown where he can't get anything from those.
You suck up the hit the stuff before he does, right? It's almost like a like in MOBA when you take the last hit.
Yeah, they just disappear. Yeah.
Yeah. All the health orbs drop, but then you have the ability to take it away before he sucks them
up. Not only that, but you really have to work in tandem with the other player. They automatically enable voice chat in this game, which is a little weird. I don't like it when they do that. Put it on push to talk. You know, I don't want to be just accidentally talking to somebody.
How'd you do as a demon?
Not that great, but I was trying to play the Arch Vile, which I think is one of the harder ones to do. He's all about area control.
Explain him to me. What's he look like? I mean, is he the...
He's kind of like
Scorpion?
A fire. No, he's kind of like a fiery skeleton. He's a smaller looking demon. He can leap to different places. Mm. He's kind of, he looks like the imps a little bit, but he's more like skeleton-y and fiery. Oh, okay. But he can leap to different places. He can put down these fiery pits that damage you if you walk over it. So like the spitter from Left 4 Dead 2.
Okay.
He can shoot little fireballs, but they don't do that much damage. So he's all about area control, and really he's way more on the strategy side. And I was trying to make him work, and it just wasn't really happening.
But, it'd be fun, like two friends going in and playing two demons and really trying to work it out, you know?
Yeah, if you made a sincere effort, it would be cool. And I'm kind of glad they did this just instead of plain old deathmatch.
Yeah.
Because they did that on the last one, and nobody really cared that much about it.
Now, I'm trying to remember, dude, did Doom 2016 have any DLC at all?
I don't think it did.
So who knows if there even going to be any DLC.
So Eternal has a deluxe edition. I don't know what you get with that.
Yeah.
Oh, year one pass. Okay. So, yeah,
they're planning on DLC. Yeah.
Yeah, they must have some DLC.
God, I hope it's not garbage. This game is awesome.
Even if it's more single player content, I'm sure that'll be great. Because the game itself, you probably haven't reached the first boss fight with the tank dude yet.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked to a little bit about that backstory thing, like that king, the ghost of the king that was talking to me, and kind of like, gave him a little backstory. I mean, this is not good or bad. It's just personally, I kind of like the mystery behind the Doomslayer. I would like even less.
No, I agree. I would like it if they got to be real careful, because if they explain too much about him, it ruins the mystery a little bit.
Right.
But so far, I'm enjoying it. The plot.
We don't even know his name.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole thing. Doomslayer, Doom Guy. It's like he's almost superhuman.
Yeah.
Though, and if you read some of the news feeds there's some like information you can pick up on the game that's not really like front and center, but you might notice it. And one of them's like a news feed that says, you know, there was possible sightings of the Doomslayer, but UAC has denied his existence, you know. And then they go on to explain, like, you know, this was the guy who supposedly blew up the thing on Mars. And so, I mean, there's like this whole plot about you being the savior and about how the demons are actually coming to, kind of like in Mass Effect, they're reaping humankind because it's their turn to pay penance or whatever. And you've defied the gods and gone against the holy way or order or whatever to try to save the humans. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of digging it. It has that whole that grandiosity to it.
Oh.
But
I did want to mention this. My oh shit moment was like within 10 minutes or 10 seconds of playing, or fucking whatever, a minute of playing. When you walk out the very first thing into the hellscape that is Earth, and that fucking thing that carries the palaces on their backs is walking by you.
Oh, yeah.
One of those thralls. It's probably 300 feet tall.
Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck, man. And then you see them in the background throughout and they're always impressive. The backgrounds are crazy, man.
The game really goes for epic.
Yes.
There's lots of like giant statues in places, and you get to fight on Earth. You start your first mission out there, and I think you come back to it in the fourth one, I believe. But it is kind of cool being on Earth, like an Earth overrun by demons.
Yeah, super cool.
I do like that setting.
There's a lot of you can see where the humanity's last stand failed. You know, like the dead mechs, the giant dead mechs and stuff, all frozen in time. It's fucking awesome, man. It's fucking really, really good.
Yeah, so highly recommend Doom Eternal.
For sure. Now, let me talk about Round Guard, Bobby.
Round Guard, let's
do complete, it. So this is what I'm talking about, like, with the indie titles, where there's room to take risks. And in this time, it paid off, in my opinion. But that comes with the caveat that I was a huge, huge Peggle fan. Like, I was trying to get fucking global high scores and shit. Like, that's how much Peggle I played. Wow.
Pro Peggle.
Pro play Peggle, yes, exactly. This adds more to it. So, you might not know what Peggle is. Peggle is just kind of like pachinko. I never know how to say that. Pachinko.
Plinko?
I think it's pachinko. I'm
sure it has many different names.
Yeah, it's a Japanese game. You drop a coin or a ball, and it goes through the little things, and it's random. So, it's kind of like that. But they mixed it with... They say Diablo. I wouldn't say... I guess the loot is Diablo-esque, but it's just an RPG, like a mild RPG. So you can play the warrior, the wizard, or the rogue, and they have abilities that you can... You're the ball, right? The warrior is the ball or whatever. And you have abilities that you can do to affect the ball while it's falling. And those abilities can be upgraded. Your loot, your equipment can be upgraded. Equipment being like your weapon, your armor... And that all comes into play because the bad guys that you're trying to kill are pegs, right? And the pegs hit you when you hit them. So if you fall down, let's say you fell down, you hit 8 bad guys on the way down, you're going to probably die because they do damage when you hit them too. So you have to use your abilities, your skills, your loot, all to overcome all of this stuff. There's bosses, there's health potions, there's mana. The abilities can be upgraded. You can switch them out with other upgrades. But the good thing, one of the good things about this game, there's a lot of good things about this game. But you can, there's strategy on what abilities you're going to use at what time. But at the end of the day, it is random because the levels are random. It's a roguelike in that sense. And where your ball lands, your loot, is determined by where at the end your ball falls. So, like, let's just say there's 5 slots that your ball can land in, and 3 of them are swords and 1 of them is armor. You can do a little things to try to fall into the one that you need, but you never know. It's hard to do. Basically, mm-hmm. You might need a sword really bad, but you might just keep falling in the armor slot over and over and over. And that's, you know, you get a bad run sometimes with that. I had a great time, man. I beat the game, but I beat the game in, I put air quotes because it's kind of like, I feel like I just beat Mom in Binding of Isaac, which is really just the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. There's runes that you can activate, and it changes the rules of the game. And then you try to beat the game with that rune activated, and then you have that rune, okay. And then you move on to the
really
next one.
So it's really it's built around that replayability.
Yeah, exactly. because, you know, I beat the game in my 10th game or something like that. There's a lot of diversity between the characters, too. I'm a big fan of that. They play as you think they should play, and that's great. The wizard has straight-up lightning that she can shoot, but it... You can't just shoot it wherever you want. It's very, like, a lot of strategy. The warrior is very, like, fucking go right at the things and fuck them up directly. And then the rogue can do backflips and shoot arrows and, you know, roguey stuff. Anyway, it's fucking awesome. I have so much fun with this. I'm so glad that somebody came up with something like this.
So this game is $20 on Steam right now.
Yeah, it's a little steep, but I had a good time. So
how many hours do you have in this?
4 or 5.
Okay. So and that's around when you beat it for the first time.
Uh huh. And then I continued to play a little bit afterwards, but I had to go do something.
Seems like a good, like, short game you could pick up and play for just a little bit. You know, maybe you get a good run.
Yep.
Cool. Round Guard.
Round Guard.
All right. Oh, man. So I've been, before we move on to news here, should probably just mention that with all my downtime, I have been and will be streaming a lot more, but who isn't, right? Like, she's streaming right now. Days was streaming earlier. Everybody's streaming. If you're on our Discord server, you can see us up there, but, probably even be streaming, some Deep Rock tonight.
Nice.
We'll see. Do my deep dives.
God, I felt like I played with you and I was a fish out of water, Bobby. It's been so long since I played.
Yeah. There's a lot of catching up you got to do, but that's the fun part, man. That's
so after I do those quests, I'll be able to go beyond level 25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, no, you have to do your promotion quest first. You're doing a quest to unlock a gun, which I'm surprised you haven't done yet.
Yeah, I can't do the promotion quest until I get the gun. That's how okay. It looked. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you just do four quests and then you'll be able to promote, but you could always just play another class.
All right. Feel like I'm bugging you, dude? Cause I'm a peasant. You let me know.
I was having the best game and it was on stream. It was on stream and everybody saw it happen. By everybody, I mean like the three people who are watching. But I was having my favorite type of game where I had some, we call them green beards. That's the term you use for noobs, but in Deep Rock Galactic. But we had some green beards and I was just carrying the team, dude. Yeah. I was on Driller. I had the backpack on with the whole team in it. And I was fighting, man. I was fighting, and it was putting on a great show, and it was a good time. And I was like, you know what? Even though these guys are, you know, they're green beards, like, I totally don't mind it. I like, you know, it adds an extra layer of challenge to me. But then whoever was hosting just had enough and then quit the game and totally just ruined everything, man. I was so upset. And we were so close to finishing the mission. So close. I almost had the carry, but yeah. So yeah, if you ever want to play that game, dude, don't ever feel like you're burdening me. I'm always down to play that with whoever.
School to the top, Bobby. We'd like to thank, some new Patreons. Thank you for Beef Supreme and Christopher. We've been getting a lot, you know, they've been trickling in. It's great. We had a lull there for a while. And now that we have these goals, you guys can see what we're trying to get. I'm trying to convince fucking Bobby to get a goddamn Vive Index. And he won't let me have it until we reach the... but that's the next tier. Yeah. So we're getting there week by week. Take a look at our goals. Somewhere in there, I get a tattoo. It's fucking gnarly, dude. We're going through the goals. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Everyone was like, Emilia will do this, Emilia will do that, Emilia will do this. And I was like, well, I don't do any of the work around here, so I guess I could sacrifice my body and my soul for $10 a month.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, we're getting close to that vibe. Can you believe Alex comes out tomorrow?
Yep.
I mean, people who are listening to this when this episode airs, it'll be yesterday. But I don't know. I feel like I'm just not seeing a lot of hype on Twitter, on wherever. I don't know. There's been a lot of hype in general, but I just, you know, day before, I guess it wasn't like that with Doom either. It was kind of like, oh, Doom's out? Like, I'd kind of forgot about it as well.
Did you listen to the newest interview with Lord Gaben?
I saw some articles about that.
Yeah, I need to listen to it. I wanted to talk about it this episode, but I'll get to the next episode.
All right. So new patrons, that's great. Also, thank you, Red Rum, 1500 bits. Very nice. Always coming in with the bits. And yep. Beef Supreme, gifting a sub to Random Task. Nice. Got that shield in chat now.
Random Task added some X, four X's between random and tax. Mm. Ooh, who four knows what's X's. Up with that?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, we got a little bit of news here that we'll get to before listener questions. First one is Steam continues breaking records, this time 22 million users. This is exactly what we predicted, right?
Yeah.
Last week they broke the record with 20 million. We said there's no way this stays with even more stuff closing down, even more people staying inside. So now they're at 22 million and it's still rising. So.
Yeah, there's the end is nowhere in sight. Crazy that like we haven't run into any issues, you know, about like, I guess it doesn't take much bandwidth. You're just kind
there
of
were
like,
a lot of other, I didn't put them in news, but there were a lot of other articles about like League of Legends increasing their servers, other games doing the same thing as well. Like they have had to Discord server crashed for a little while. Like we've seen some stuff happen, but I think a lot of people understand that everybody is at home online now and they just need to kind of increase that bandwidth.
I saw that there was something going on. Oh, on Twitter, somebody was saying, like, video gamers are going to have to calm down because they're using up all the bandwidth or whatever. And then somebody compared how much bandwidth video game users use versus somebody what was streaming in 4K. It's, like, not even close. Like,
4K is a huge
jump.
Yeah,
it's huge. Yeah, it was, like, 30 times more to be watching Netflix in 4K.
Yeah. There was, again, another article about in Europe where they've downscaled. Like, you can't stream 4K in Netflix. I don't even know if you can stream, like 2160 or whatever the next step is, 1080. Like, they've had to...
Right now? Gotcha.
Yeah, just because so many people are doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, next bit of news here. Game Developers Conference moves to August 4th. So...
It seems optimistic.
Yeah, because a lot of people are canceling things and just not saying when they're going to happen again and are just canceling it for the until next year because nobody knows when this is going to end. But August 4th, that seems pretty optimistic. I mean, that's pretty soon. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to make that deadline.
Whatever. They'll just push it back if they have to.
And that should be GDC should be happening right now, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with
that. They canceled fucking everything.
All right. Time for listener questions.
Zap, zap, zap.
All right. First one from Red Rum. If you could interview anyone in the gaming industry, who would that be? And if you could only ask one question, what would that be?
I've been kind of going back and forth with Edmund McMillan of Binding of Isaac, and I'm almost like nervous about it. Like, I don't even know what I'm going to ask. I'm such a big fan of the, I think I'm going to do it. What I'm going to do is, if I ever get him on the phone, is not do an overarching interview, kind of like what Electronic Playground did. If he wants to, I'll probably just do a really deep dive on Binding of Isaac because there's so many oddities in that game. Is it like, why this, why that? I hope he's okay with that. But we'll see if that happens. I would like to interview Lord Gaiman and ask him why we're not the official Steam podcast. That's what I would ask him.
Wow.
Yep. That's lofty goals, man.
Who would I interview? Anyone in the gaming industry? There's so many. There's not like one person where I'm like, oh my God, that's, you know, the holy grail of people I'd like to interview. But there's a ton of people that I would love to talk to.
What about the Double Fine guy? The type of the Double Fine guy?
Tim Schafer?
Schafer, yeah.
No, I mean, there's a couple Double Fine guys. Yeah, I mean, that would be really cool. And I can't think of a specific question I would want to ask him. There's so much I'd love to talk to him about. But, you know, either John Carmack or even really John Romero. I would love to talk to John Romero about... what was Dai Katana because of the whole history with that game. And I don't know how he would feel about that. So I'd feel a little weird bringing that up to him, but I liked that game and I will probably be playing that very soon because I started a playthrough of it, got pretty far in it, then installed the user made or the fan made patch, which fixes a lot of little things and found out the saves were incompatible. So yeah. I lost hours worth of progress in that game, which is unfortunate. But yeah, that would be really cool. Tommy Tallarico, I think is how you pronounce it, who did video game music since the 90s. He puts on that Video Games Live show, which is amazing. I don't even know if he does it anymore. It'd be a shame if he doesn't do it anymore. But if you ever get a chance to see Video Games Live, it's so worth it.
That's when an orchestra plays the video game music, correct?
Yeah, but it's so much more than that. They put on a whole show. I saw it maybe about 4 or 5 years ago when it was down here for Comic-Con.
Like stuff is going on stage at the same time? Okay.
Yeah, and they have little cut scenes. They bring people up to talk a little bit. They do all these things.
How many times have you seen it, Bobby?
I've only seen it live once.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm wondering if they changed the show.
Yeah, they do. Because they'd been doing it. I remember back in like 2011, I saw them advertising it in LA and I wanted to go, but didn't end up making it. And then I went maybe like 2015, 2016 or so, but I'm sure it's kind of morphed as it's gone along. They have different sets they play. All right. Zap's got a few questions. What's one game from your backlog that you want to beat while you're on lockdown?
One?
One. Yeah, there's going to be a lot, man.
I'm not on lockdown. I got to go back to work. So I don't know how much time I'm going to have. Better question for you, Bobby. Well, that's all you're doing, basically, right? Daikatana.
Daikatana, yeah. Yeah, probably. But really, Divinity Original Sin 2.
Yeah. Hopefully I have some time. Oh, yeah. You guys will probably say, well, we're pretty far, dude.
We are pretty far, but when I started playing with Sniper this last week, we made a lot of progress in Fort Joy. We are almost halfway through Fort Joy, I want to say, in one playthrough. And I don't know, I'm almost at the point where I want to just start my own single player playthrough, maybe even do like a four-man team, because I always do just two with Lone Wolf.
Yeah.
But I really want to beat that game. Like, I feel like I've been trying to find games that are that are like that game to kind of hold me over, like Mutant Year Zero or, you know, these other tactical turn-based games. But
there's only one, man.
Yeah, but nothing like Divinity is really the best. And by the way, if you're not following me on Twitter, you should, because I posted the video of the original cheese vendor doing his voice lines, which are absolutely incredible. From Divinity Original Sin, the first one, the original version, not the enhanced. They replaced the voice actor in the advanced.
Yeah. What happened? I'll never understand. Maybe a lot of people fucking complained. I bet that's what it is. He has kind of a shrill voice, and you have to listen to him for hours.
You hear him all the time. You hear him all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you go through a phase where he bugs you, but then you come to love it after a while.
Can't beat him. Join him, man.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Sniper, I would love to continue that game. You know, whenever you're ready, man, me know.
That sounds like he's letting you off easy, dude.
No. I mean, it's just, you know how it is. You're trying to get two people's schedules.
Yeah,
to
you don't like a guy. You try to get rid of him.
No, he did want to play the other day, but then I wasn't home. And then, yeah, it's just been tough to lock that in.
Yeah.
All right. Another question from Zap. What game has the most fitting soundtrack? I can't think of a better fit than Doom 2016 and its metal soundtrack.
I think it might be better than the way I remember 2016. Is it really ramped up when the when you were fighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, I feel like the music starts ramping up if you're just in the area. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think it's done as well.
The soundtrack is a little different, but what I really like about this one, there's been a lot of publicity for the guy who made the soundtrack, Mick Gordon, Mickey Gordon, I think his name is. I hope I'm getting that right. But what I really like about the new Doom soundtrack, Doom Eternal, is the choral stuff. That very, like, almost Gregorian chant or monks like that. Oh, like that deep thing. Like
Skyrim stuff.
Yeah, they use a lot of that. But, you know, it's like that long tone, you know, Gregorian chant. Yeah. Yeah, stuff like that. And I just think it almost, that stuff's scary. Like, Doom Eternal is not a scary game. No. Like, you're not supposed to be scared of
again,
this stuff.
You're the monster.
Yeah. Yeah, but it almost adds a little bit of that, like, oh shit, yeah. You know, this is kind of creepy.
There was some anticipation coming over some ledges and like, oh, something's there's a lot of, yeah, exactly, anticipation. It's all, what the fuck's going to happen around this next corner? Yeah.
And it really adds to that, you know, what I was talking about earlier on, the grandiosity. You know, when you're about to do that boss fight and like you see these giant statues, you know, it's just heaven and hell, like all this really grand stuff. But the soundtrack I always think of when I think of a great fitting soundtrack is Guacamelee. Like, that just
fits the tone.
It just fits it completely because it's
a lot of trumpets.
Yeah, obviously it's that, you know, Latino music, but it's also very upbeat. You know, it kind of matches that colorful style of the game. Like, everything in that game just kind of came together.
Those Canadians really do Mexicans right.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I've got to say, after 1,000 hours of Binding of Isaac, a lot of times let's say I'm streaming, I'll turn down the music and I'll play like my own music or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm just playing the game, like I was playing the game upstairs today or yesterday, I've never gotten sick of the music. After 1,000 hours, it's just really fitting. The different levels that you go to have a different soundtrack, and if the it really fits the mood of that level, like the aquatic ones. I don't know. You have to play them, but yeah, I'm still not sick of those songs.
Yeah, you know, Mutant Year Zero had a really good soundtrack too. It was bordering on cheesy, but still, but not enough just to be ridiculous, you know. And it was kind of like that synthy. It seemed like a soundtrack you would hear in a cyberpunk movie from 1992.
Perfect.
Yeah. It was just right on the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Deep Rock Galactic has a really good soundtrack, but I always turn it off. I've had it off like forever. So I feel like I'm missing out, and they're adding more songs to the soundtrack as well. That's one of the things.
I turn it off too.
Yeah. I mean, audio is very important in that game. So, you know, you want to hear that exploder sneaking up behind you.
It's like, we got work to do, boys. We can't be listening to music.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many games with great soundtracks. Next question from Zap. What classic game deserves a reboot similar to Doom, Wolfenstein, Tomb Raider, etc.? I feel like we've already remade everything.
Yeah. All the big titles.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
I feel like we could use another Turok.
Yeah?
Yeah, because the old ones...
It has dinosaurs?
Yes. And because the old one holds up, but it's got some real... It's got this key system that I do not like at all. Like, you have to find a key, and they hide it very well, and you cannot progress until you've found that. And you can actually exit the mission without getting that, and then you're just stuck in this area where you have... you have to unlock these doors with keys, and you don't know which mission you're missing it from. It's a clumsy design, but yeah, I don't know. Turok would be cool.
I'll take a Contra. Fuck it.
There was a new Contra game. It was horrible.
They got to make a better one.
It's on everybody's like top five worst games 2019.
Yeah, yeah. Like a fucking roguelike Contra. That might be good. Slaughterhouse, has that been redone?
Is that a big...
Have you never played Slaughterhouse?
No, that was on like Nintendo, right?
It was on TurboGrafx-16 and on the arcades.
With the hockey mask and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. But that's not... That's like kind of a deep cut there. I don't know if a lot of people know what that is.
Yeah, it's not a classic game, I guess.
There was one that I mentioned a few weeks ago when we were talking about it. Like, how has this not been... Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That would be a good one to do. People would just buy that just because they love... Zombies Ate My Neighbors, or whatever the abbreviation or the acronym is, ZAMN, ZAMN. All right, next question from the Livingston. How do I raise my kids to be the right kind of gamers?
Geez, what's the right kind of gamer? Oof, that's a loaded question, huh?
Don't let them play...
online games? Yeah. Roblox, like, Mila's way into Roblox right now. I didn't even know what Roblox was, really. I thought it was a game. It's more like a world.
Yeah. Dude, I talked about it on the podcast. Remember when I helped my niece? It was a long time ago. It was like a year ago. But my niece, I was at my parents' house for whatever reason. It was when my grandfather was dying. That's why I was, like, at my parents' house, like, constantly. And I was teaching, I was helping my niece play Roblox. And yeah, I had the same discovery that it's not really a game. It's almost like Minecraft or like, you know, building a world or like creating stuff.
Yeah. What was it going to fucking, God damn it. Gary's Mod. Gary's World?
Gary's Mod.
Yeah. That's what it's like.
Yeah. Kind of like that. You build a little obstacle course. Yeah.
Yeah. And then people join your server, which is your little world. And then you play your game. Or whatever.
Yeah, and you can only, if you like pay for a membership, you can have more maps or something, and then people rate them in popularity. It's an interesting design, and you know, as someone who works with kids, young kids, every single kid passes through a Roblox phase. I mean, at the age that I work with, they're kind of like, they're kind of like poo-pooing Roblox, you know, a little bit. Like, oh, you must be like a fifth grader. You play Roblox, you know, like they're a little too cool for it. But every single one of them has gone through a Roblox phase.
Your kids are in the Fortnite phase, right?
A lot of Fortnite, a lot of Minecraft. Yeah.
Fucking, I have no problems with Minecraft, man. I think every kid, I highly endorse it, I think.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about Minecraft, as far as like if my kid were playing it, if I had a kid, this hypothetical child that I have, is that it's...
Fuck that kid, by the way. I don't like him.
Yeah, he's
the worst. I kick him whenever I see him.
It's not... it's not a start and stop game, like a start and finish game. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's a game that you could spend all day on. And I think that
all
that,
life on.
Yeah.
People until you outgrow it. One.
But I think that's a little dangerous to have a, like, expose a kid to that kind of game. I don't know.
Just because of how deep it is?
Just because of how much time you can spend on there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think, but as far as like what kind of games you should let your kids play,
definitely some platformers. Get the mechanical parts down. Some Rayman Legends are super fun. That way you can get good at controllers, and then as they graduate, you know, they can play more and more complex things.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what's appropriate for children.
Yeah,
as a parent. All right. Next question from Sniper. Would you consider marrying a Kako demon if it was really good at sucking dick?
It's impossible for a Kako demon to be good at sucking dick. Its mouth is full of razor blades.
Yeah, I think you're asking for trouble there.
Yeah. And and what is not teeth is fire. So it's just all bad.
Plus, I just don't think he believes in the institution of marriage.
The Kako demon?
Yeah. He's not a fan, man. He's not into labels.
He likes when other guys get on his girls. He's a Kako demon. Yeah? See what I did there?
Yikes. Right,
keep moving on.
All right. Captain Gummy says, question. If you have no mouse and only running a laptop like I am now, what games would you suggest for playing if all you have is a keyboard and trackpad?
First thing I would do is stop getting on our voice channels because you sound horrendous right now, dude. You sound like you're talking into an empty cup of can of beans, dude. It's just like teeny and super high range. Anyway, FTL. I always tell everybody, if you want to spend some time, especially if you're traveling, anything can run FTL.
Yeah. I don't think he's concerned about the horsepower here, like what he can run. It's just he doesn't have a mouse. And I'll tell you, I'm running into this similar problem because I have been at my girlfriend's a lot, and I've been on my laptop, and I've been either remoting into my home computer or using GeForce Now. But I don't have a mouse for my laptop. I just have a trackpad. So, yeah, it does severely limit the types of games you can play. And I will recommend a game that I've recommended before, Grifflins. Definitely 100% grab that game. You can play that with a trackpad, no problem. Also, I think you could do Divinity Original Sin 2 with the trackpad.
Now, why? Obviously, you must have had a controller for your PC, right? You could just put that dongle right into your thing, right? You could put it into.
I could. I don't want to, like, I don't know. It doesn't. I know it doesn't seem like a lot of work, but it's like, if like, oh, I'm gonna. There's a big difference when you just pull out your laptop, turn it on, boom, you're into something, as opposed to like pulling out your laptop, hooking up a controller, connecting it wirelessly, and then like, okay, I got to do something else, then I come back to this, and I got to set it all up again. I don't know. I'm all about ECUs on the fly. I keep my laptop very, very mobile and very low.
Right. It'd be another thing you have to carry around with you.
Yeah.
And that's probably why you don't bring a mouse with you, I'm guessing. Same reason.
Yeah, I never really need a mouse on my laptop. Plus, where am I going to put it? Like on a couch or on a armrest? I don't know.
And kitchen table.
I feel like it's complicating things a little too much.
I still stand by FTL. It's turn-based, so you can get away with using that on the trackpad.
Yet another roguelike from 2013.
Yep.
Well, as we're wrapping up here, thank you to Hoosier89 for the subscription, and also Pyrus Tamer. Pyrus Tamer, okay.
Those pyruses need to get fucking tamed, man. It's a big problem.
All right. I think that's about it then. What are we playing next week?
Well, if I'm not dying from coronavirus, I don't know, man. I don't know how much time I'm going to have. It's a weird week. Nobody knows what's going to be happening. If I'm back to regular full-time plus overtime, fucking hardly anything, probably. I'll definitely play some round chill my backlog of recent games that I really like is building up. I was like, what is Forgone? I was looking at Shona. I totally forgot about Forgone from like 5 weeks ago. Yeah. I was enjoying that. I really, really love Curse of the Old Gods, Hades. These are all super good fucking roguelikes, man, but I just don't have time. And, you know, Doom Eternal came out this week, so.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to those. It might not be good podcast listening, but that's what I need to do because I like video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll probably finish Doom Eternal. Why not? And Divinity Original Sin 2. And really been itching for a Star Wars game. I'm actually looking at firing up the old emulator and playing Super Star Wars on SNES, which is a game that I played quite a bit of as a kid.
Side-scroller, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
straight-up 2D side-scroller.
Yeah.
And
do me a favor, Bobby. Let's bring up a list of all Star Wars games.
That's what I did today.
Oh, can
there's
we do
actually
it right now?
A great YouTube video. I mean, I could bring up a list, but dude, there are so many. There's a great YouTube video out there that I came across that goes through every single Star Wars game from, like, I don't know, the '80s, from like early '80s to 2019, and just shows you like maybe 5 seconds of footage from each one and a title, and then also what system they were on.
Right.
And I just went through that and I was just like checking out each one. And, you know, there's some great ones out there that I totally miss, like Rogue Squadron, Empire at War.
Rogue Squadron was on N64.
I think Rogue Squadron 2 was only on some system. Yeah, like an N64 or whatever the Nintendo one was at that time. But
the first one was
KOTOR 1 I was talking about earlier in the show. I'll probably be playing that this week if I can make it through all the mods.
I can't remember which one is supposed to be good, KOTOR 1 or 2. Which one is the one that's like...
2 is the one everyone talks about, but I already played and beat that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so and I loved it, and I kind of want more of it, and that's why I'm looking at the first one.
There was an Atari fucking Star Wars game.
Oh, yeah.
Where you fight the Landwalkers or whatever.
There were a couple of them. Yeah, there was that one, and the one I played quite a bit was the Return of the Jedi one, where you're trying to blow up the Death Star.
That one I don't know. Oh, yeah, I do. Is that the vector graphics one? Is it in first person?
No, dude, this is Atari. And this game, Atari games were so difficult because you didn't really know what you were even supposed to do. So it took me so long. Like, I guess I'm supposed to beat that little tiny glowing dot in the middle, but it was not clear. Return of the Jedi. Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. This game right here. Play a little bit for you. I think I still have my Atari and all the games in my parents' garage. You had to zip through the portal there.
Every day, every podcast we have, the pile of shit that you have in your parents' garage grows and grows in my mind.
There's a lot. It's a big garage. They got a lot of stuff back there. But once you get through the portal there, that green thing shoots a laser down, and you have to chip away at the Death Star here.
To get to the middle?
The second Death Star, yeah. And, I guess you have to shoot that laser beam. And that was the game. Dude, that's what games were back then.
This looks pretty bad, dude.
Yeah, but look at those TIE interceptors.
Yeah, it's the best graphics up to that point.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe I'll play that.
No, please don't. All right. Speaking for Bobby and myself and missing everybody else, I did Corona titties, huh?
Yeah.
COVID titties. Let's go.
It's like the master list of Star Wars games. Maybe I'll play Jedi Academy, but I haven't finished Outcast yet. Oh, Masters of Terras Kasi, remember that one?
Nope.